Science Talk, the podcast about open science. My name is Per Pippin Aspås. Today, my two guests are Lukas Sunning and Laura Janda. First to you, Lukas. You are with us online from Germany. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Hi.
And in the studio in Tromsø, Laura, welcome to you as well.
Hi, thanks a lot.
So we're here to talk about something called trolling, the Tromsø repository for language and linguistics. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
It was actually your idea, Laura, I've been told. 10 years ago, exactly now, trolling was launched, and you're sort of the founding mother, if that's allowed to say. Could you tell us why trolling came into being?
Yeah, so I was already at that time using quite a bit of statistical data in my linguistic research. And even though I try very hard to keep things tidy in my own computer, sometimes it can be hard to find things again. And I thought it would be great if somebody more professional was curating and taking care of that data, making sure that it was professionally managed, and also that it would be available not just to myself, but also to others. So that was kind of the idea.
Yes, and then you came to some colleagues at the library here at UIT. I should have mentioned by now that you're a professor of Russian linguistics. So you came to the library and asked for their help. And what was the response?
Yeah, remarkably, the library was very happy to take on this rather large project. And we were really grateful for that because, of course, the library has a much more professional expertise in the archiving and managing of data and information than I would have as a lowly professor.
Yeah, and over to you, Lukas. You work with English linguistics, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. So I'm currently a postdoc at the University of Bamberg in the English linguistics department. Yeah.
And how did you even hear word about trolling?
At a 2018 conference, IL5, I think it was, we hosted a workshop on implications of the replication crisis for linguistics. And in the course of preparing this workshop, we had a look at different open science channels that are available to linguists. And that's how I became aware of trolling. And I remember very well watching the YouTube clip that recorded Laura, which was a very nice entry into the trolling archive. So yeah, that's how I became aware of it, and I only started using it a year or so later. So yeah, it was in the course of this research for that that workshop.
But since then, you have been a quite frequent user of trolling. I could see by now 13 published data sets, and that's in a short span of time. Why do you use trolling for your data sets?
I think by now I'm making an effort to make every academic contribution or publication into a bundle, which does not just consist of the paper, but also of the data and code. And I think after the first few submissions to trolling, I really began to appreciate the excellent service and feedback and advice that the team provides and that the data curators offer. So I've also become a bit of a fan, I think, of trolling. That's probably the main point.
Thanks you. Thank you for that. It's called the Tromsø repository, but it's free for researchers all over the world. Did you give it much thought when you decided to baptize it Tromsø repository, Laura? Can you remember?
Yes, I remember quite a lot because we got a certain amount of pushback too. because, of course, trolling is also a word for sort of negative activities that take place on the internet, let us say. But I don't know. I really like the name anyhow, and I think that I don't think that that association has really gotten in the way. But it's completely straightforward. The name describes exactly what it is when you look at the spelled out name, and the short name is easy to remember. So I don't know. Although there were a few people who complained in the very beginning, after that it kind of died away and people got used to the fact that we were going to take back this word and give it a positive spin.
Can you relate to that, Lucas?
Yes, I can. And of course, as an external scholar, I also have to say that this is quite remarkable that people from other universities, other countries can make use of the same of your resources, actually. So I think that's one of the great parts of trolling, that it's open to external scholars. And from day one, however, I've had kind of a bad conscience for using resources at another university for improving my research. So I think that's something. So there's at least for me, because I'm quite an active user of trolling, I would like to contribute to it in other ways as well, not just take advantage of the repository.
How can you contribute to it in other ways? That made me curious.
Yeah, so about half a year ago, I was invited to be part of the scientific advisory board, and we had a meeting in January, I think it was, and there were some thoughts circulated as to how trolling could manage an increasing number of submissions and so on. And I think for me personally, one option would be to contribute as a kind of a reviewer or a preliminary data curator to do some of the work, repository work that's part of curating a data set. So that would be one concrete way in which I can picture myself making a contribution, I think.
It's interesting that we now use words that are similar to those that are used in journal publishing, for instance. It's like submitting mm-hmm. a data set is comparable to submitting an article manuscript to a journal. Then it goes through peer review by other scholars. And then if it's approved and improved upon by the author, usually there are some rounds with the editor and so on, then finally it gets published. In the data world, there are actually two options for researchers. Either you go this long route through a kind of peer review, where the peer reviewer is usually set in a library, like trolling. These are the curators are working in the library. So they are the reviewers, you could say, and the editors of the trolling journal, in quotation marks. But you can also go another and simpler route. It's just submitting it somewhere, uploading it somewhere on the internet without no curation at all. Of course, that is hugely faster. It's extremely fast. Why do both of you, I shouldn't mention that Laura didn't just start trolling, she has been using it ever since, more than 20 data sets by now. So I mean, you continue to use it. Why do you go that extra mile through the trolling curation process?
I think I do that because it's very important to me to hold to the highest standards and best practices for our field. Because we go that extra mile, then our data sets, we feel very assured that they can be reused, and I know they are being reused. And that way, we contribute to the entire field and we contribute to helping people to, we contribute to helping people to raise the level of professionalism and expertise. I think it's extremely important to do. If you're going to do something, do it well. don't do it halfway.
Exactly. Yeah. Just to pick on one thing you said, data are being reused. You say, how do you, as the author, so to speak, of those data sets, how do you get notified that they are being reused? Do you get quotations, citations? Do they send you an email, or how does it work?
I don't get any citations from trolling. I mean, but there's no way that trolling would actually know either. I guess they would see if something was downloaded. But we actually don't get those. I was once an external examiner for a dissertation. This was just before the pandemic, for a dissertation in Leiden. And when I was reading that dissertation prior to going for the dissertation defense, I discovered that a large part of that dissertation was had taken my data and my statistical code and reused it on another data set. So in other words, the PhD defendant had used my data and my code in order to carry out his own dissertation research. And that I thought that was really exciting.
So you felt that was exciting. Others would say, this is a robbery, it's your data, your code. But that's not how you feel about it.
No. I mean, he didn't steal it. You know, obviously he cited it and everything. But he took what I had done and took it in a slightly different direction, and gathered his own data. But it made it possible for him to do the research that ultimately earned him a PhD. I think that's wonderful.
How about you, Lucas? Do you have any dream scenario about how your data should be reused by others?
Well, first of all, I'm usually quite happy if someone's interested at all in my research. So I think the fears that some people have, I don't share them. I've only been contacted once by someone on a trolling post, and I actually learned something from that exchange, because it turned out that the way I had obtained data from a corpus would have been possible in a much easier way. So there was another option that I wasn't aware of. And to the other person, the interesting bit was that there was a very, very minor difference in the output of those two data retrieval strategies. But for me, it was something I learned. So that was already one nice scenario that unfolded. At the moment, for instance, I'm doing mostly methodological research, and I'm always grateful if I find data from other people that I can use, like real actual data, to test things, and that often leads to an interesting exchange. So, for instance, at the moment, I'm collaborating with Raquel Romasanta from the University of Santiago, and we're presenting a paper at ICAME together in a few weeks, and this is based on her data, and kind of connecting to methodological work I'm doing at the moment. So, yeah, not my data, but another nice scenario, I think.
Yeah, excellent. How about you? That extra mile, this is a question about the curation process, which of course takes up some of your time. It must surely, there are things to fix on your data sets, and that takes up some of your time. How do you feel about this? Why is it worth it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm actively advocating trolling, and I'm advertising it to other people. And I always say that the first data set publication is the hardest. And after that, it becomes more and more of a routine. I mean, the nice thing also of trolling is that the the documentation of a data set is quite standardized. So there's a fixed and recommended structure of what's called a README file, where you describe your data and methods and other things in detail. And writing this document is the most work when preparing a trolling post. But this is an example where the second or third README file you write, you know what goes where and so on. Yes, and I think the moment I opened my first curation report, so this is the document you get after the first round of review, I was overwhelmed by the thought and care that went into quality control from the data curators and the trolling. And I mean, in that instance, I realized that even though I had to invest quite a bit of work into that very first trolling post, a lot of work was done in return in giving me feedback and suggesting improvements and so on. So yes, I mean, I also feel that we should be aiming for the highest standards. And I also see, however, that the quality of my output and only the data and the documentation I'm providing has improved a lot from the feedback, or based on the feedback I've received from the data curators. So I've really grown, I feel, from my history with trolling.
Yes, and in another sense, trolling as a database is growing. It's now 173 datasets at the time of recording. So 173 datasets for 10 years. So lots of curation work has been going on. So the question for the future then, Laura, where do you see trolling in 10 years from now?
Yeah, in 10 years from now, I would hope that there are more people like Lucas who are who will become active users of trolling. Also, I hope that trolling will become more of a standard best practice for everyone. Journals will require this more and more. I mean, I think this is a growing trend, and also that this will be required as part of the process of applying for grants in order to make sure that all of the data is publicly available and also the code. I think that trolling can be a major tool for people who are learning how to use statistical methods in linguistics. I'm not teaching that course right now this semester, but I've taught the course in the use of statistical methods for linguists at the university here, and I've reused all of my own data sets in that course so that the students can see how to set those up. So I think this will be this will become more like a standard practice for the field.
And you, Lucas?
So I hope that in the future, trolling will also find a way of obtaining the necessary resources to cater external people like myself, because I think if the goal is for trolling to grow, and the quality is supposed to remain at the same high level, there's lots of curation work will have to be done. And I wish that in a few years' time, at the latest, maybe I can play my part in the review and curation work if trolling decides to outsource parts of the work.
That bodes very well for the future of trolling. So at the end of this episode, I always ask, do you have anything else that you would like to add before we stop recording?
I was interested that Lucas mentioned this video that we made about trolling. It was one of the first things that we did when trolling was launched. We made a kind of a humorous video. And in that video, there's somebody who, a graduate student who comes and knocks on my door, and I'm like the, I'm the difficult old professor who never I'm playing that role right now, who never archived anything and can't provide the data that goes along with the articles that I've published, and isn't willing to help this poor dissertator. And so then the poor student, I slam the door in his face, and then he cries out in the hallway, "What about my dissertation?" And anyhow, I wanted to tell Lucas that what happened was that we rehearsed that the day before, and the person who plays the dissertation, the PhD student, it actually was my PhD student. So we rehearsed this the day before, and then the next day we came back with the camera crew and we did the video. But the second day, some of my colleagues down the hall, they said, "Oh, it's just for, you know, this is just a recording. This is just a joke." They said, "We thought Laura was abusing her graduate student."
Yeah, that's a nice story.
Okay, so you got away from that reputation.
Yeah. So.
Yes. So at the very end of this episode, anything you would like to add, Lucas?
Yes. I think I would like people who consider using trolling to know that the staff at Trolling, the data curators, are very, very friendly and also very patient dealing with your submission and so on. So that's been a completely positive experience. Yeah, so I think I would like people to know this. Yeah.
Open Science Talk is produced by the University Library of UIT, the Arctic University of Norway. Thanks for listening.